Okay. Well, I guess it's about 11 o'clock, so we can get going. My name is Dan Burrows, and I'm going to be doing my talk on some open source data analysis. So it feels really good to be back here at DEF CON once again, early in the morning, fighting all the lines and crowds and having all sorts of fun. So a little bit about me. I'm the Associate Director of Technology for the Center for Law Enforcement Technology Training and Research, and I'm also a research faculty at the University of Central Florida. Now I'm over in the College of Health and Public Affairs. Used to be over in the College of Engineering up until fairly recently. A few of the things I do. The Center for Law Enforcement Technology Training and Research letter is a nonprofit research center attached to the University of Central Florida that basically we do various projects, work on various grants based on law enforcement technology, a lot of data systems, and delving into a few other things. The main project that we've been working on there for a while now is a system called Finder. This is a law enforcement data sharing system where we take all the various disparate databases that these different law enforcement agencies have, whether it's a local police department, sheriff's office, any other type of agency, state-level agency, and now even up to federal-level agencies, and basically make their systems work together, make them interconnect with each other, and then do some analytics on top of it. It's right now it's the largest state law enforcement data sharing system, certainly in Florida, if not nationally. And then I'm also involved with a company, Hoverfly, that we build flight control systems for different types of remote aircraft, mostly quadcopter-based systems. And it's actually all of that slightly relevant to what I'm about to talk about today in kind of a strange way. So some of the related interests that I have, and if anybody that's been coming to DEF CON for the past decade may have seen some talks that I gave back many years ago, and this is on doing pattern recognition and detection of pattern recognition detection for security applications, where I wanted to look at all of the things that we have on our networks, whether it's the IDS, the firewalls, any sort of data logs, anything that's recording what's going on is on the network, and treat that as a sensor, and then apply some traditional sensor fusion algorithms and techniques to try and get a picture of what's going on with that. And this all involved, I did this with using Bayesian multiple hypothesis tracking, and then later on came back and did another talk on how to avoid a system like this. You do it once, and then you figure out how you avoid it and then build on top of that. And all of this kind of feeds back into this idea of sensor fusion and getting data from whatever sensor we have out there. And most things, when we look at these sensors, whether it's the IDS, whether it's log files telling you what's going on the network, whether when you're trying to build a circuit board that's going to fly a quadcopter, you've got accelerometers and gyros and pressure sensors on it trying to figure out where this thing is in space, to anything else we have. These are sensor systems, and these sensors are, for the most part, they're pretty lousy. They don't give you any one sensor doesn't really give you a really good image of what's going on. It gives you noisy data. It gives you stuff that is, it's important and you need it, but it's not really clean and it's not really useful just by itself. So that's why we want to figure out how to bring different sensors together, different disparate systems together, and try and get that bigger image out of it. And it's really all about developing a situational awareness of what's going on around us. So for this particular project that I just started some months ago, my inspiration for this actually goes way back to DEF CON 13. There was a fellow that gave a talk there. His name was Broward Horn, and he gave this talk called Meme Mining for Fun and Profit. And it was really, in all the years I've been coming to DEF CON, it was one of my favorite talks that I ever saw. And this guy, he had this basic problem of like a lot of us do, that He would see all new technologies coming out, and he would try to figure out, where am I going to spend my time and invest my time and effort into learning something new so that I'm going to be ahead of the curve and get on that get that next job, be ahead of the game. And he felt that every time he would see something new, and by the time he saw it and learned it, and then it was old, and then everything had passed him by. So he built a system that would go back and look at what people were talking about on blogs, on different forums. He used the Internet Archive and Deja News to look at past history of these, and to build these models of these saturation curves where you see an idea getting interesting, and you see, like, early on there's a little bit of chatter about it, and then it starts getting more and more people start picking it up, and eventually it hits this point of inflection where it really takes off. And his whole point was to try and identify these trends before they happen, or at least very early on as they're happening, so you can get a jump on the curve. Here's this graph that I've got up here. This is something that I blatantly stole out of his presentation, which is, it's up on the DEF CON archives. You really should go have a look at it. It's really good. And in here, the red graph is people talking about palladium, the metal palladium, on different forums and out there on the internet. The blue graph is the price of palladium. And when you look at this graph, one of the things you see is that the chatter about it really precedes that spike in the price of it. And more importantly, that when the chatter drops off, it drops off before that spike goes away. And that's a clear opportunity that if you're looking at this and you're looking at the right places to get this information, there's money to be made there. There's something you can do with that, and you can kind of get an idea of seeing what's about to happen before it actually does. And that's the whole basis of his talks and my inspiration for this project. Now, as I said, I'm research faculty at University of Central Florida. I used to do some more teaching there. Now I do mainly research. But back when I used to teach, students would come to me all the time. They're graduating, they're looking for a job, or they're going to be looking for a job in a year, and they'd want to know, what do they really need to pay attention to? What skills do I need to go out there and get a job? So I would try to keep a lookout and try to keep as ahead of the curve as possible as I could about what was up and coming as far as technologies go, and what was going to be important, what would get someone a good, first foot in the door type thing. So one of the places I used to look and monitor this, you go to all the different job sites, see what people are looking for, read on the forums, all of that sort of stuff. But I found that Craigslist was a really interesting place to look for this. And it's not really that you're going to find good jobs there necessarily, or it's like a really good source if you're actually looking to get a job. But it's got some really interesting short-term relevance if you treat it as a sensor and treat it as a way of getting a bit of information about what's going on out there. So, if you look at economic theory, you always hear the term like jobs are a lagging economic indicator, which that basically means that as the economy in general or a particular industry is either going up or going down, the jobs in that industry will lag behind. It'll be a few months behind, 3 months, 6 months, something like that, before the job numbers actually catch up with the trend in the market. Kind of makes sense. See, there's a time for period for people to hire people. It's also hiring someone's a pretty long-term investment, generally speaking, so you don't want to do it. A lot of companies don't want to do that until they're sure this is going to be meaningful and profitable long-term. The thing that's interesting about Craigslist is that a lot of the jobs there they're temporary, they're contract, they're freelance jobs. They're not as long-term investment jobs as what you typically find in a lot of other places. So it really kind of shortens the lag behind there, and it takes this what should be the job numbers are the really lagging number. The job postings are a little bit ahead of that. And then the short-term job postings are even closer to what's really happening today than that. So, why Craigslist? I said a little bit about that. But the reality is it's available, and it has a pretty decent categorization. There's if you look at just the job categories alone, there's 31 different job categories, and there's 400 sites or 400 different Craigslist geographic regions in North America. The other interesting thing is it's got a heck of a lot more than just job listings. There's all sorts of information people are putting up here that if you look at it the right way, you might be able to infer something out of this. It's got a significant amount of short-term relevance, both in the job listings and in the other items and services that are up there. And this led me to believe that this would This could potentially be a what we call like a normal to a leading indicator of change, to where you're going to see things happening here as it's happening out there in industry, as the trends are actually happening out in reality, or even potentially get a little bit of a heads up, a little bit of a warning about what's coming down the line. I mean, you got to think about it. Anytime someone posts something up on Craigslist, posts a job, a company's looking for someone to do something, you know, a lot of times on these freelance jobs, it's because there's some new thing that they've got I always default to the software type jobs, but you know, there's going to be some new system that they've got to build for. They're going to look for new people that have different skills that they don't currently have. They're going to look for things that are short term and immediate needs, and it gives you a really kind of really close to the moment type of view of it. Now, this is not the best. I'm not saying this is the best sensor or best source of information for this, or certainly not the only one. It's just one example of many that's out there, and I don't want you to go away from this talk thinking like that I'm all about talking about what you can do with Craigslist. I'm talking about the idea of what we can do by taking all of this information that's out there and treating these systems that collected as sensors, and then try to bring it together in a different way. So let's go ahead and have a look at the data, some of the information that I've found so far. This is just the real initial results. This was the easy to find stuff in there. I haven't had the time. I've been mostly in the mode of collecting the data and building systems to automate the collection and storing it. What's in here really kind of brings more questions than answers, but you know, like I say, that's the fun of it. So here's a this is a 5-week period looking at job postings by day, and this is in all categories, and I say in all cities here. Actually, this data was collected. I wasn't collecting from all 400 sites at the time. I was only collecting from a handful, I think about 20 at the time. But this is all the job categories averaged out for all of these cities. And in the trend, you see some things that are fairly expected. Where it goes down low, that's the weekends. Then there's a peak on Monday. It kind of generally tends to trend down through the middle of the week with a second peak later on Thursday or Friday in the week, and then dead on the weekend again. Okay, you know, that kind of makes sense. People come in, want to get stuff done on Monday, get lazy on Wednesday, and then you have to get your shit done before the weekend comes around. So that makes sense. If we overlay individual cities on this, most of the cities follow that sort of general national trend. One in particular, here's Boston. And it's really, you know, it's interesting that it really follows national trend, including on the days or the weeks that there was a little bit of weirdness going on, where on this first week, where it sort of had this more of a hump instead of the drop in the middle, Boston kind of followed the same trend. And you can see it mirrors the pattern very closely. The one interesting place that I found initially, this is the first thing that popped out to me, was Austin. In Austin, Texas, generally speaking, nobody has that. They don't have that second peak. Nobody posts jobs on Friday, or at least they do a whole lot less. They don't follow the national trend. And I have no idea why this is. I don't know why they're different, but out of all the cities I looked at, Austin was really the only one that exhibited this trend, and they're very consistent with it. If you average it out over all the weeks that I have in there, this is the daily average. On the left is what all the cities averaged together look like, and most of them follow that very closely. And Austin just has this steady decline through the week. And I don't know there's anything useful to be taken out of that other than Austin's kind of weird, but you know, maybe someone's from there, they can explain it to me. So, you know, moving on, looking at some other things. This is over a longer period of time, about a 4-month period of time. Here's maps of some job trends by category, and if you can see what's going on here, the blue line at the top is the number of sales jobs being advertised. And keep in mind, when I say jobs here, I mean jobs advertised. I don't mean this isn't necessarily someone's actually filling a job. This is someone posting a job ad on Craigslist. You know, the blue line at the top is sales. The yellow line at the bottom is manufacturing, and in the middle we've got medical, software, and education. First thing that kind of jumps out is that there's not much of a curve on either the sales or the manufacturing, but it is there, and they kind of follow in opposite patterns of each other. And likewise, you can see a much smaller curve in the software seems to drop down in the middle, and education seems to pop up in the middle. The medical seemed to be pretty flat to maybe just steadily growing. Again, I'm not really sure why you see this, but my guess is that in this particular case, you know, most like manufacturing jobs and most software jobs tend to be a job that you have to pay someone for as they do the job. You know, someone gets an hourly wage to do the job. Sales jobs, a lot of them are actually commission-based jobs, so that, you know, when things are going down, it doesn't really hurt you to hire more salespeople. If your products aren't selling, you hire more salespeople, you hire them on commission. If they don't sell for you, you don't have to pay them. So I think that you tend to see this pattern where when things are not going well for other industries, you know, you're going to see a lot of advertisement for sales positions. Not necessarily good jobs there, but certainly a lot of advertisements. Anyway, that's, you know, just another one of the little interesting pieces of information that I pulled out of here. The most interesting thing by far that I've found to date is what I like to call the bikers versus hookers charts. And this was, I looked at the number of ads posted for people selling bicycles. On Craigslist, and compare that to the number of postings under adult services. And when you first look at the trend, there doesn't necessarily appear to be any real significant relevance either from one town to another, or between these two items. And these have been kind of normalized based on population, so that obviously, some cities have a higher population than others. They have more postings on Craigslist in general. That information has been pulled out of here. I realized that in the way I collected the data, it was screwed up for a while. So I New York was one of the cities I had in there, but my little program getting the data wasn't getting it quick enough, and they just cycle through jobs so quickly on there that you have to look multiple times a day to get it. So this data has been a little cleaned up and a bit normalized, but only based on basically the size, population, of the city, and how much general use there is on Craigslist. So anyway, when you first look at it, it doesn't seem to be any real significant trends. But if you look at the percentage change from week to week in the number of postings on both of these, they're really damn close. That, you know, you can pretty much be sure that when you look at one of these places in any of these cities, if the number of bikes being offered for sale goes up 10% from one week to the other, the number of ads for adult services is going to go up 10% as well. I'm not quite sure why that is. But it's out there in the data, and it's really they mirror each other amazingly well. I was kind of shocked and fascinated to find that. So what I'm doing here, and what I've done so far, and this is why I'm giving the 20-minute talk here, is that this is very early on. This is basically the basic system has been built to go out and collect this data off of Craigslist. You know, in the job categories alone, you're looking at 12,000 data points that you can collect every day. There's all of this other information out there, and I'm just looking at just the numbers of postings right now. That's really all I really want to look at. There's clearly some significance here. There's clearly some interesting stuff that goes on in here. And I really just kind of want to throw out this idea and see what else can be done with it. I think that there's all sorts of interesting hidden information that we can pull out of this. If you apply techniques, you know, just do some basic, like, I've been doing some basic, like, regression theory, trying to find out what are the driving factors what are the variables that actually drive what's going on? I'd like to pull in information from other sources, look at other information about what's going on either economically in areas or other trends in different technologies, and collect more and more of it, because I think even though this is a really crappy, lousy sensor of trying to get in and get information out of the world, it is a sensor, and you can do amazing things if you take two crappy sensors that measure things in different ways and put them together in the right way. You can get some really good, clean information out of it. So the next stages that I'm heading towards with this is I've got a site that it is not up yet. So if you go there right now, it's just redirecting to another site. I was hoping to have it up by the con, but I didn't. My fail. But the site is it's sensorcrunch.org, and I'm going to make all of the data that's being collected off of this, and then hopefully from other systems, is going to be made available on the site. It'll probably be up within a month, at the end of August. And I'm looking at wanting to make this a repository for kind of the raw data that you can pull out of this. And instead of necessarily being a site that's going to produce all the pretty graphs and things like that, I want to be able to get back down to that raw data to pull out, so that it basically is a place to have the source of data, the history of data, so that other people can do analysis, other people and myself do analysis on it. So as this is the 20-minute talk, that's basically it. I've got some relevant and not so relevant links and acknowledgments up there. So a few interesting sites to go. That bottom one, that realmeme.com, that's Broward Horn's site. And he's got anybody that's interested in memetics or trend analysis, it's really worth checking out. It's a really he's got some interesting stuff up there. The others are of varying degrees of usefulness, but you can figure that out on your own. So that's it. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to talk more. The question was, what tools am I using to do this? And if I was just scraping it from Craigslist, I am. Their site's really nicely structured. They have the RSS feeds, and you can just connect. There's just a different URL for basically every posting category in every city, and it's really easy to basically. I build a little piece of software that I just tell it, basically give it the root URL for a particular geographic location, and then it spiders through it and pulls out all the information from all the categories. And it was just running through the system once a day, and they store about 100 listings in each category, and for most places that was enough to get it all in one day. In some of the bigger cities, New York, Chicago, they actually cycle through more than 100 a day, so it had to get reworked to go cycle multiple times. Yeah. Yeah, actually, I forgot about that. Thank you. The you're asking about the question was about payday frequency. Did I take that into account? It's a very rough, wave. They took down my slide. I didn't realize the mic was on me. But anyway, if you go back and look, it's on the percent change slide. You actually can see about a 4-week period in that. So whether it's people selling bikes or whether it's the adult services, it definitely peaks and then goes down 2 weeks later and then peaks again. Well, yeah. Sure, sure, and that's a good point. I mean, it was interesting to me that there was a correlation between it with what you're saying. It makes it even, kind of almost even more interesting that that actually existed. I'll look more into that. Okay, and I'm getting the signal to cut it off, but I'll be going over to the Q&A room. So if anybody wants to come over and talk more about bicycles and vaginas, feel free. Thank you.